if you would tonight, and let's turn in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, Exodus 33. And I'll ask you to follow along with me in these verses as I read them aloud. We'll read verses 11 through 23 together, Exodus chapter 33. The Bible says in verse 11, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. After we pray, we'll have our special. And after the special tonight, we're so privileged again to have missionary Wayne Shemesh with us and his family. And God has already used Brother Shemesh in a great way here. And we're just so glad and to have him, so thankful that he was willing to come and be a blessing to us here at Faith Baptist Church. Amen. So please be in prayer for him, and let's pray that God will help us tonight, again, as we prayed earlier, to hear exactly what God would have us to hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be here. And Lord, what a joy it has been to fellowship with these missionary families. And Lord, to think of what you're doing all across this world through these willing servants. Lord, we rejoice in it, and we're excited about it. And I pray tonight, God, that as we hear your word, that we would ask you what you would have us to do. And I pray that you'd speak to my heart, to our hearts tonight. Please have your will and way in my life, in each of our lives. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We pray these things tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, well, good evening. It's nice to be here with you tonight. Look forward to God speaking to us all. If you have your Bibles, why don't you find Matthew chapter number 16, and then from there I'm going to go across to the passage we read in Exodus chapter number 33. Now, I hope the message tonight will be helpful to you. I hope tonight, as we look at these passages, that you will see something of how God works. I believe the intent of the Bible, or one of the intents of the Bible, is that God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants you to understand him within the framework of how he's going to work in your life, the things that he would expect of you, the things that he would expect of a local church. And I think God reveals himself in the Word of God. And just like anybody you care about, you want to get to know them. If you have a good friend, you want to get to know them. If you choose someone to be your life partner, you want to get to know them. You know, when you care about someone, you want to understand them. You want to know more about them. And God reveals himself in the Word of God so that you could know him. And I don't just mean salvation. I mean even beyond that. He wants you to understand him. Now, he never promised that he would explain to you everything about everything. He never said that. He never promised you that he's going to tell you every reason why everything is happening in your life. That will perhaps come after. But he has told us enough, the things that we need to know to be able to live for him and live our life in a way that we could have God's blessing on our life. And I do want to tell you, there is a big difference between living a life when God's blessing is on it and living a life when God's blessing is not on it. When God blesses your life, it will be better for you. And so learning that is important. I'm going to show you something about that. What I'm going to show you tonight is something that every missionary must understand. Because what I'm going to show you tonight, this thing happens in our life whether we understand it or not. But it's better for us. We have more comfort. And it's just better for us to understand this principle. This is a principle of missions. This is a principle of life. And so how we will do this, we will look at Matthew chapter 16. I'll make some introductory comments about just two verses there. And then we're going to go across to Exodus 33. And if you're really patient, I'll ask you to turn to one other place. And I really believe this. I think tonight you'll leave here and say, well, I'm glad I understood that. That helped me. I think you'll do that. Certainly that's what I did as God showed this. I don't believe you came to church tonight, you know, just to sort of clock on and clock off and leave here just the same. I really believe, I think I can tell something about this church. I think you're sincere people. I think you do want to draw closer to the Lord. I see already that you care about the things that God cares about. So, and I appreciate that. I enjoy being with you. And I feel your spirit, and I'm glad to be around. I have the greatest respect for your pastor. I really like him. I think he's a good man, and I think you, as a church, are blessed to have a man like that as your pastor. Now, I've been around. I've seen some churches. I've seen some preachers, and I'm telling you, you're blessed. You have something good. And you have that because what has happened is God has knitted your hearts to his heart and his heart to your hearts. And what has happened, God has brought you all together because God is going to do something very significant in this place. And now he's already done some amazing things, but it isn't done. God has more that you're going to be on a journey together. And so he's brought it all together. And I'm very excited for you just to kind of see what unfolds over the coming years. And you know what you are? You're part of a moment. You're part of a moment. You've been selected for a place in history. And all of this will not be repeated again. This is special. Even tonight will be just tonight. And then that moment will be over. But we need to recognize the time we're in and realize we're born unto a purpose. God has things for us to do. All right, so thank you. In Matthew chapter 16, I want to read two verses from here, make some comments, and then we will go to Exodus chapter number 33. Verse number 20 and 21 of Matthew chapter 16 is where we're going to look at. Then, this is talking about Jesus, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, in that passage, we can learn two things. We can learn, first of all, number one, that Jesus was actually very much aware of the details of his coming death. Apparently, he knew very specifically what things were going to happen to him. He said where it was going to take place. He said who the principal personalities would be involved. He talked about that he was going to suffer many things. And we didn't hear that whole conversation, but it's apparent that he was very aware of all that was going to take place. And you know what that makes me do? That makes me just think a little more highly of Jesus, that he bore that knowledge of what was coming, but he never got depressed, like, you know, leave me alone, this is my moment, you don't understand. He never did that. He still loved people. He still cared about people. He still focused on others. Though this dark cloud was hanging over him, this inevitable suffering was coming, he didn't let that get him down, and he served. And that just tells me something remarkable. I mean, we may have understood if he didn't know what was coming, and just by faith he just served God and did what he did. But actually, it's apparent here he knew all the details. So that's the first thing. But the second thing here is that he told the disciples. So before the events took place, now this is unusual. This is not typically how God works. But before the events took place, Jesus said to them, look, this is going to happen. And he was pretty clear about the details of what was going to be involved when he went to the cross. Now, the curious thing is this. A little while after that, everything that Jesus said did in fact take place. The people he said, who would be the ones who would inflict upon him the suffering from a human sense, they were indeed the people involved. He did suffer. He was killed. Everything he had apparently told them took place. Now, here's the question. Why was it that when that took place and those men who had been told by Jesus the thing that was coming ahead, why wasn't that when that took place, they didn't turn around and look at Jesus on the cross and say, this is it. This is the focal point of history. This is the crowning moment. This is everything that he spoke of. It's taking place right now, and I'm here and I see it. That's not what they did. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 56, and we won't turn there, but it says, all the disciples forsook him and fled. You know, when it was happening, they didn't pick it up. Isn't that unusual? He had told them, but when it was happening and was actually in process and it was all going on around them, they didn't pick it up. Now, there's a reason for that. And it's going to help us to understand a little bit of why you go through some things, but you don't always understand what's going on when it's going on. Is that okay? How many of us have lived through something like that? It's going on. We know something's going on, but we don't know what's going on. And we're not clear about what's going on. But we know it is happening, and sometimes it's not a good thing that's happening. But we don't really know what, and there's a reason for that. Now, please understand, from a mission field perspective, as a missionary, this is a reality. We go out, we leave our country, we go to another place, we follow God, and we want to do the things God would have us to do, and we sometimes find ourselves in a place where things are happening, all kinds of things are happening, and at that moment, we don't really understand all that's happening. And more of this. Go now to Exodus 33, because in Exodus chapter 33, that's the passage Pastor read, that will help us to understand this principle of understanding what is going on when it's going on, but we don't really discern at the time what is going on. And this becomes clear here in Exodus 33. Now, this passage, a couple of introductory thoughts. Verse 11, the Lord, it is said, and it is true, he spoke to Moses as face-to-face, like a person speaks to his friend. The Bible says that. In other words, Moses and God had a really close relationship. You know, I was sitting in the pew tonight before I came up here in the service, and as I was sitting in the pew, I felt God just, you know, saying some things to me. I was listening to the song and just saying some things to me. Now, I don't know if you know, there's a Thai flag over here. And so I've been looking at that throughout the time I've been here. When I look at a Thai flag, I feel something. You can understand that. I don't just see colors. I feel something. So I was just sitting in the pew, and I felt God speaking to me. And I teared up a little bit. And I tend to do that when I feel God's touch. And I said, Lord, I'm amazed that you talk to me like there isn't anybody else. I'm amazed that with all the people there are, in all that life is, all over the world, I'm amazed that when you talk to me, it feels like, well, I just have 100% of your attention. And I went to say this. I went to say, I'm amazed that you just have the time to do that. And I felt really quickly, just it came to me, well, he's not in time. God is not bound by time. But the marvel of this thing is, when you get saved, is God desires to talk to you and to commune with you. And he will talk to you, when I say like there's nobody else, not like there aren't other people, because often what he talks to you about has to do with other people, because the will of God is always about people somewhere. But he talks to you like you really matter, you're really important. He really cares about what you're feeling. He really understands you. And that's really true. And so Moses had a relationship with God like that. And I find this is true. As you get close to the Lord, and as you learn more of him, you love him more. Now, did you ever get to know someone, and the more you got to know them, you started finding out some things that you didn't know in the beginning of when you knew them? And sometimes it's not an upward thing, it's a, you know? And you say something like, you know, if I knew you snored like that, I'm not sure I would have married you. And you become it's a journey of discovery. And sometimes it's not good discoveries. But in the journey of discovery, of knowing God, the more you know him, well, the more you love him, and the more you want to know more. And it just draws you in, because he's just so good, and he's just so wonderful. And you say, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, come on, get on board. It really is that way. Listen, don't skip on through life and miss God. And so the more you get to know him, you want more of him. Well, that's what Moses said. So Moses has this relationship with God where they talk. And Moses, if you read this passage, I was kind of smiling a little bit as Pastor read it again. There's a dialogue going on here between Moses and God. They're talking just like people would talk, and you might just be listening. And Moses is saying, well, you know, you've asked me to do this thing, but you haven't told me who's going to go with me. And God said, well, I'm going to go with you. You know, I'm going to go with you. And Moses said, well, if you're not going to go with me, then don't send me. And because, you know, we've got to have you with us. And God said, I'm going to go with you. God says to Moses, you know, I know you. I know you by name. And that's a compliment. That's something special. Now, we all know God, but it's really good when God knows you. It's really good when God says, yeah, I know you. I know you. And so he said, you know, I know. And then here's the outworking of this is this. Moses says, and just sort of spills out. Moses says, look, in verse 13, if I have found grace in your sight, if it is really this way, Lord, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Now notice that, that's underlined in my Bible. I mark my Bible when things, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Now, he's not saying, show me the way of salvation. That's not the question. Moses is saying, I want to know more of you. I want to understand you more. I want to understand your ways, your way, how you work. I want that. And then he goes down to verse 18, and Moses says again, you know, he says, I beseech thee, like I'm going to ask it with a certain fervency again, show me thy glory. So the desire of Moses is to see God. But please understand, he doesn't want to see God in the way that perhaps someone who's not a Christian would say, well, if God just comes down and shows me himself, or if he just pulls back the clouds and shows me, well, I'd believe. It wasn't that kind of thing. And by the way, that never makes people believe. That's not the thing people need to believe. Unbelief is not a head problem. Unbelief is not a problem of the intellect. Unbelief is a heart problem. The fool says in his heart, not his head, there is no God. It is apparent to anyone who wants to know that there is a God. And so Moses' desire is not for some parlor trick. Moses' desire is not that he can be further convinced of God's presence. Moses' desire is to see God and to be able to come in close to God, to even come in closer than talking as a friend talks to a friend. And that's his desire. He has a hunger for the presence of God. He wants to see it. And if you read that again, you'll see the show me, show me, show me. He wants to see it. And I don't know about you, I want to see God working in Nakhon Sawan, Thailand. I mean, I'm not just there because it's a nice place to live. I'm not just there because of the sunny climate. I'm in Nakhon Sawan, Thailand because I want to see God work. I want that. I really, really want that. That's why I'm there. That's why I followed him to a place that I didn't know where I was going. I mean, God said Nakhon Sawan, and I'm gonna another night. But God led me there, and I'm there, and I want to see God work. It's great when God works. By the way, God is working here tonight. Yes. So I don't see him. No, it's not identified with this. It's what's going on here. He said, I want to see you. Show me, show me. Now God answers him. And the answer that God gives is found from about verse number 19 in Exodus 33. And God says, well, I'll pass up by you. I'll make all my goodness pass by you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And God says that. Now God says something else to him. So God, now I want you to get this. In verse 19, it's like, okay, I'm going to come past you. But in verse number 20, he says, you cannot see me, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. All right, now it says, Brother Shemesh, is this heading somewhere? It really is. So here's what's going on. God says, I'm going to pass by you. But, Moses, there's something you have to understand. No man can see me and live. Now, that truth, that's a truth theologically, but it's also a truth in reality. God has set up life as we know it. God says this, in this life, you will not see God this way and live. Can you understand tonight, there are people who used to sit amongst us who aren't here anymore. They've gone over and they see God differently to how we see Him. I mean, the Bible says this, we live by faith and not by sight. That's a principle for life on earth. Because when you get to heaven, faith gives way to sight. In heaven, you will see. In heaven, you'll see God. In heaven, you'll see heaven. In heaven, you'll see things so wonderful, God said, you haven't got capacity to even imagine it. It's never entered into your head. And it's almost like you have an excited father who says, I have some great things to show you. And I'm waiting to show you those things. But for now, walk by faith and not by sight. And so there is a principle in this life that we would not see God with our eyes. No man, he said. He said it to Moses, no man will see God and live. But God wants to help Moses. God understands that Moses wants to see him. God understands this is not a statement of unbelief. This is not about Moses needing to be convinced. This is a desire from the heart of a man who loves God, wants to know God's ways, wants to see God, has become, as it were, in his affections, detached from all this world offers, and longs for the presence of God to see God. So God wants to accommodate Moses with that, and God says, okay, here's what we're going to do. And you'll see this in the latter part of Exodus 33. God said, you can't see me and live, but what we'll do, I'm going to pass by you. And so the first thing you need to do, Moses, if this is going to work, Moses, you've got to stand on a rock. You've got to stand on a rock, all right? That's in verse number 21. God said there just so happened to be a rock nearby. And I just suggest to you that there's a rock nearby, everybody. And he said, just stand, Moses, you've got to stand on a rock. Now when you see like that kind of thing in the Bible, you should be starting to think, well, what does this mean? All right, he's standing on a rock. Now, more than that, God says you're going to stand on a rock, but also you're going to be in the cleft of the rock. On a rock, in the cleft of the rock. Now, in type, we won't go there tonight, in type, that's speaking of Jesus. No man can draw to God apart from Christ. If you don't have Christ, you cannot have God. Or you say, I'll go a different road. You know, all roads lead to Rome. Well, that may be so, but they don't all lead to God. Jesus said there's one way, there's one road, it's narrow, there's one bridge, and if you are to see the Father, you must come through the Son. So in type, Jesus is the rock. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians 13, and not 13, 1 Corinthians, and he's typified as the rock. So God says, Moses, stand on the rock in the cleft of the rock, and here's what I'm going to do. Now you can see this. We read this. God said, I'm going to cover you with my hand. All right, verse number 22. So you stand on a rock, you'll get in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand, and I'm going to pass by you, Moses. So I'm going to come past. You're going to be here, Moses. You're on the rock. You're sort of in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to put my hand here because, Moses, you can't see me and live. And here's what happens. As God passes by, what God will do is that as God has passed by, God will remove his hand and Moses will see sort of the back of God. Is that not what's laid out here? That's, if you look at it, that's it. That's the picture. And so now you say, what is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a very important principle. That's why it's in the Word of God. That's why you're looking at it tonight. Because in that passage, it's telling you something about God, which will tell you something about you. And here's what God is saying. God is saying this. I know you want to see me. I know you want to know my way. I know you want to make, you want more. You want to understand all this. Okay, but there's a certain limitation here. Here's what you'll do. You will see me, but you'll see me after I've gone by. And that's how it works in this life. Isn't it true that you look back on your life and you say, when this and this happened in my life, you say, that was God. Amen. How many people have done that? That was God. You can identify something. You say, that was God. Or you say, I didn't see it at the time, but that was God. Or you say this, when I was going through that, I never understood it. I mean, I knew God was there, but I never understood it. But now that it's past, now I see. Now I see. And what God is saying to us, He's revealing to us that in this life you will never have the forward view. No front view allowed. In this life, here's what you'll have. You'll have the presence of God with you. All Moses knew he was there. Couldn't see it because there was a deliberate covering going on. In this life, you'll recognize He's here. He's here. He's around us. Honey, God is with us. Honey, God is working. He's here. You'll recognize that. You'll know this, that you're standing on a solid place, a sure place. You'll know that. You'll have His presence. You'll have His place. You'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You'll have that. Is this good? This is good, right? This is really good. You'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But God says, I won't show you ahead what's going to happen. We won't do that. But you'll discern my movement and you'll see it clearest after I've passed by. Because in this life, I would have you to walk by faith and not by sight. In time to come, it'll all be clear. But now, it explains why we don't see it when it happens. It explains why God doesn't just sit down in the midst of the storm and say, well, let me talk to you about this. But after the event, after God has passed by, after He's done it, oh, we see then. We say, oh, that was God. And what God is wanting you to do is by faith. Trust Him. Trust Him when you can't explain what's happening. Trust Him when you don't understand it all. Just be glad you're on the rock. Be glad you're in the cleft of the rock. Be glad that though a lot's going on, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. The Ancient of Days has you covered. Be glad for that. And trust God. And walk by faith. And be thrilled about the fact that He's close to you. And be okay with the fact that you won't understand everything right now. But it's okay. Because if God is with me, it's okay. I mean, I may be hurting, but it's still okay if God is with me. I may not understand it. I may cry. I may have questions. I may feel like I don't know it. But if God is with me, it's okay. And God is with us. Now, you ask, and we're going to conclude. You ask this. You say, Brother Shemesh, you say, well, He's not going to show you the forward view. No. He's not going to reveal to you ahead of time. No. No, He's going to say, Abraham, walk with me. And the Bible will record that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Now, if a missionary did that, you're not going to be excited about supporting him. In fact, we tell the young missionaries, you need to lay out the 25-year plan before you get to the country, as if they could. But God reveals things progressively. And so you say, well, Brother Shemesh, you don't see the forward view. No. You say, Brother Shemesh, you don't see it all that clear when it's going on. Is that what you're saying? That's it. That's what I'm saying. So you say, well, what do you do? What's the guide? What has God given us to chart through life when we don't have full sight? What do you do? I'm so glad you asked that question. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to conclude here with this brief reading. I think you'll just see something here. And I'm thinking you've read this a few times already. I'm going to just point two verses out to you from this passage. And the question is, we don't have the forward view. He doesn't choose to let us see the front. We see it clearer after he's gone by. What do we have in this life? What has he given us that we can serve and live and go with God in this life? Well, there's an answer to that. And God is always good, and he's always good to make sure you have what you need. He really is. And here's the passage. You ready? It's verse number 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to take you back over it. He says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, you will notice in that text there is a natural division. And the text is divided by these two words, now and then. So you'll see the reoccurrence of now, then. Okay, Brother Shemesh, which is us? Okay, we're in the now. Now is now. Now is not then. Then is then, but it's not now. You say, you Australians talk really strange. Now is now, and then is then, but now is not then, now is now. Now, then will be different to now. But God understands you have to live in the now. So God says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you what you need now. I'm going to give you the compass that will chart you through any situation you come across. Wow. I'm going to give you the map that will take you through life. Because I understand that in this life you're limited in your capacity to see. But I'm going to give you what you need to get by. And by the way, if you would give your children this, no matter what comes in their life, and don't we all agree the world is changing fast? And, you know, like educators are trying to prepare kids for jobs that haven't been created yet. I mean, we just don't know what is coming ahead. The world is changing fast. And we're thinking, what can we do for our children? Well, if you would give them these things, this is the compass that God has given you. If you'll take hold of these things, and you'll apply these things every time in every situation, God will guide you through everything. It's that important. It's so important, you've heard it 1,000 times and hardly thought about it. And isn't it true sometimes the devil blinds us to the obvious? Isn't it true sometimes familiarity can cause us to miss something? And so here it is. So the division is now and then, now and then, now and then. You ready? Here it is. Now, verse number 12. Now we see through a glass darkly. All right, stop. So that's now. So God is telling us, now you have obscured vision. Now you can't see everything clear. Now you're limited in your capacity to see. That's now. And most of us would say, right, it is like that. He says, but then face to face. So when you get to then, there won't be any limited view. There'll be nothing blinding your ability to see. Everything will be clear when you get on that side, when you get heaven side. But we're not there now. That's then. Now there's a limited, you know, an obscured view somewhat. But then, face to face, now I know in part. Well, that's true. I mean, it's not like we don't know anything, but I think we'd also agree we don't know everything. And we just have to trust God. I'm talking about the things that are taking place in your life. I'm talking about the practicalities of the Christian journey wherever you find yourself. I'm talking about what missionaries have to deal with. I'm talking about what preachers have to deal with. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, that's then, but it's not now, then shall I know as even as I'm known. In other words, in the same way that God understands you fully, then you'll understand things fully, but not now. So then here's the conclusion. Now, this is it. This is your compass. These are the abiding things that go from generation to generation. This is the map that never becomes outdated. And now abideth faith, faith. Not sight, faith. Hope. Not despair, not depression, not despondency, hope. God said, you take hold of hope. You take hold of faith. You hold on to hope. You don't cast away your hope. And charity, love. I mean, real love. And God said, if you'll take hold of those three things, wherever you go in the world, wherever you go back to tonight, whatever comes tomorrow or the week after that, you have three abiding things that will never fail you. God said, I won't show you the forward sight. I don't promise you the front view. But I'll give you what you need to get through life until you get to the time when it's all revealed by sight. Does that make sense? Do you know what we need to do tonight? We need to reaffirm in our hearts a renewed commitment to faith, to hope, charity. We need to say, Lord, I will not make light of that which you have said is abiding. And when you don't know what else is going on, if you'll just hold those three things, you'll be okay. You'll say, I know he's passing by. I can't see it, but I can sense it. And you might get a whole lot clearer understanding after the event. And when we get to the then, it'll all make sense. But God understands now, you live in the now. Faith, hope, charity. Don't leave your compass at home. Don't go and try to chart the course of life without the compass God has given you to get through it. These are the things that we need. Amen? I need this. I need this. Because I have moments in Nakhon Sawan where everything from sight is troubling. And I have to hold on to faith and hope and charity, and it gets me through. God's given it to you. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm done here tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the way you help us. Now, Lord, I believe tonight that the gathering is just as it was intended to be. We're all here tonight, Lord. I don't think anyone's missing. I think we're all here. And Lord, not only that, I think you're here. And I thank you for speaking to us.